Many patients are upset to learn that doctors don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore.
National Review columnist Wesley Smith talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's a real shame because the Hippocratic Oath protects patient safety. The speech I will give at the conference will describe the consequences of violating Hippocratic values in healthcare and the things that can occur in the healthcare system if we move away from Hippocratic medicine to a more utilitarian bioethics.
You can meet and hear Wesley Smith making the case for the Hippocratic Oath at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Sorry to bother you, but they need an extra person in the back room. Are you free?
Twisting and fighting for its life.
We commend the souls of these hundreds of children. And Lord, we pray to end abortion.
I really appreciate what you've done for us. I'll not forget it.
22,000 abortions. How do I even comprehend that?
Rough day at the office.
You could say that. You're making a mess.
Some excerpts from the movie Unplanned. What can change a person's mind when you are on this path that you think you are doing good, you're helping women, you're furthering the cause, and then suddenly you see what you have been doing for what it is, and you realize that you have not been helping women. You may have been furthering the cause, but the cause is the taking of innocent human life. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, April the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be dealing and responding to some claims that the story behind the movie Unplanned isn't true. Abby Johnson, author of Unplanned, will be our guest for the first half hour of the program. A little bit later, Pastor Ted Geese joins us to review the movie Shazam. Then we're in our series with Pastor Peter Bender on Lutheran catechesis today. The first article of the Apostles' Creed and creation. Joining us to refute claims that the story behind the movie Unplanned isn't true, Abby Johnson, former Planned Parenthood manager, founder and CEO of And Then There Were None, author of Unplanned, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Yes, I Really Did See an Ultrasound-Guided Abortion That Made Me Pro-Life. Abby, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
First of all, what's it like watching a movie when you are the primary character?
You know, it's a little strange. It feels pretty vulnerable, but, you know, it's a good thing. We're seeing lives being changed. We're seeing children being spared from abortion. And so, you know, that's the whole reason that we did it.
Tell us about the 2010 Texas Monthly article on you titled The Convert.
Yeah, I hadn't been out of the clinic that long. I had a guy contacted me from Texas Monthly and did a story. They're a very liberal, biased publication. And, you know, I just really didn't think much about it. I had been doing a lot of media around my story, and they ended up contacting Planned Parenthood. And that was the only news source that Planned Parenthood had actually responded to, probably because they knew that they would be in their favor. And they sent some fake form to him trying to disprove my story. And, you know, until now, I'd never really, you know, I know what I saw. I mean, the Planned Parenthood has changed their story multiple times. And so I just didn't really worry about it. But then when the film came out, I just decided that now is the time to really speak out about this ridiculous news story, and so that's what I did.
What evidence, if any, did the article in Texas Monthly or subsequent claims present the claim that you did not witness a ultrasound-guided abortion?
They sent in a piece of paper that looked like an Excel spreadsheet. And they said, this is what we're going to send into the state. And this shows that no 13-week abortion was performed. But that was not the form that we sent in. We had to send in something called induced abortion report form. And I used to send those in, so I knew what those looked like. And that was not what Planned Parenthood had sent in. They had really just sent in an Excel spreadsheet. But, of course, the, you know, Texas Monthly article ran with it as proof, I guess, that it didn't happen. And that was sort of it.
So what kind of abortion data does the Texas Department of Health actually release?
They don't release any data. According to a Texas state code, they're not allowed to release any sort of patient data to anyone, certainly not to reporters. They can't release anything. The only information they can release is aggregate data about how many abortions were performed in the state, how many are performed by county, but you can't release any information individually about certain clinics or certain patients.
So what about the form that Planned Parenthood claims to have sent to the Texas Department of Health? You say it wasn't even the proper form?
No, that wasn't even the form that we sent in.
You say that ultrasound-guided abortions aren't common. Why is that?
Well, typically Planned Parenthood's protocol for an abortion in the first trimester is not to use ultrasound guidance. And I never really thought about it, but when I talked to this physician that came that owned his own private practice abortion facility, he was explaining to me that it's actually safer for the woman if the doctor can see inside of the body where he's performing surgery, which made total sense. I just never thought about it before. So I did ask my supervisor why we weren't doing this type of procedure. And she basically told me that using an ultrasound during an abortion takes up about an extra 3 minutes of time. And we had a goal to get patients on and off the table in 5 minutes. So adding an additional 3 minutes of time per patient, if you're trying to do anywhere from 30 to 50 abortions a day, that's just not something that they're willing to do.
So tell us how you ended up witnessing this ultrasound-guided abortion. How did it happen?
Yeah, so this visiting physician was there, and he had made a decision that he wanted to use ultrasound guidance for this procedure, probably because 13 weeks is right on the cutoff between first and second trimester, and ultrasound guidance is common in a second trimester abortion, but not in a first. And so I think because the patient was right on the cusp in between first and second trimester, he decided he was going to use it. But using an ultrasound during an abortion requires another person, because you have to have someone, you only have a doctor and a nurse. And the nurse is there to monitor vital signs, blood pressure, and oxygen level. So she's not able to also perform an ultrasound during the abortion. And so I was asked to come in and just hold the ultrasound on the woman's abdomen during that abortion procedure.
Tell us about Planned Parenthood's record keeping regarding the abortions that they perform.
So they keep records. Everything is on paper charts. They keep record. They're legally required to keep them for 7 years, but there had been situations where there had been a significant complication with the abortion or something like that, where the record was destroyed, because the Texas Department of Health comes in every year to make an inspection of your clinic. And one of the things that they will ask for, that they could possibly ask for, is the charts of patients that have had any complications. And so if there has been some sort of serious complication, they would want to make sure to get rid of that chart.
So you're saying it was not unusual in your experience there for these records that the Texas Department of Health would want to see to be destroyed before the inspector arrived?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. And then the ones that we did give to the inspector were all scrubbed. So, you know, you wanted to make sure if you pulled a chart that did have a complication, they'll ask for a certain number of charts. They'll ask for, you know, 12 medication abortion charts. So they allow you to pull the 12. So you pull the 12, and if you happen to pull one that had a complication after a medication abortion, you either put it back or shred it, because you don't want the inspector to see your complication log or the complication rate that's happening in your clinic.
You write that an important part of my story is that I didn't walk out of Planned Parenthood immediately after witnessing the ultrasound guided abortion. Why is that an important part of the story?
Well, I think it's people have, they've said, well, you know, I went on the next day to do an interview for Planned Parenthood that had been scheduled for several weeks. And people said, well, if she really had this change of heart, then, you know, why did she go and do this interview? Well, I was not in any position at that time to even say to myself, well, yes, I'm definitely leaving the clinic. At that moment, it's not like I saw the abortion and then walked out that day. I mean, I saw the abortion, went home, told my husband, told one of my good friends who used to work at Planned Parenthood about what I had seen. And they were both like, well, what are you going to do? And, you know, I said, I have no idea. I don't know what I'm going to do, because I don't know if I can leave my job. I'm making all this money and, you know, helping to support my family with this income. And I don't know if I can. I don't know. And also, this had been my life for 8 years. And I thought, if I leave, then who am I? I mean, this would become part of my identity. And, you know, there was sort of a time where I was really trying to make what I had seen in my head okay. But eventually I just realized that nothing was going to make it okay, that I was going to eventually have to leave.
We're talking about claims that the story behind the Unplanned movie aren't true. Abby Johnson is our guest, former Planned Parenthood manager, founder, and CEO of Then There Were None, author of Unplanned, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Yes, I Really Did See an Ultrasound-Guided Abortion That Made Me Pro-Life. You can read it, find a link to And Then There Were None at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, the movie compresses the timeline a little bit. We'll find out why with Abby Johnson after this. You can call it what you like. I call it life. I call it life. I prayed for things nobody.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I'm going to talk about two big trends in American life over the last 50 or 60 years: the decline of institutional Christianity and the growing polarization of our politics.
Ross Douthat of the New York Times talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference.
The increasingly strident division between an ideological left and an ideological right. And I'm going to argue that Christianity has weakened precisely because people have become more likely to identify with ideologies than with religious beliefs, and that a recovered Christianity, a more robust public religious faith, is actually an answer to polarization because it gives people an identity that's bigger than partisanship, so they can define themselves as Christians first and liberals or conservatives second.
You can meet and hear Ross Douthat at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Monday afternoon, April the 15th, we're refuting claims that the story behind the Unplanned movie isn't true. Abby Johnson, author of Unplanned, is our guest. Abby, before the break, you were telling us that you didn't just walk out of Planned Parenthood after witnessing this abortion and then go immediately to this pro-life group. Why does the Unplanned movie present a slightly different version of that timeline?
Well, because you're trying to take 10 years of my life and squish it down to an hour and a half. So they had to take some liberties with the timeline, but the actual story and why I left and what I did when I left is true.
Tell us about that week between witnessing that ultrasound-guided abortion and you're reaching out to the Coalition for Life.
Yeah, it was a week. I just felt like I was very confused. I hated going to work every day. Tension was growing between me and my supervisor. And I wanted to leave, but I just didn't have the courage to do it. I didn't have the faith to do it at that time. And that week, we had actually not been doing any abortions. And the following Monday, I had said to myself, okay, well, I'm going to work here until I can find another job, but then I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to participate in any abortion. That was sort of I'm going to work here, but I'm not going to participate in any abortions, and I'm just going to find another job. And that following Monday, I was sitting in my office, and I saw these women walking out with brown paper bags, and I knew inside of those were the medication abortion regimen. And I just thought, you know, I'm still doing it. I'm still here. My paycheck is still coming primarily from abortion. Like we're still having to fulfill these abortion quotas. You know, I have to leave. I have to get out of here. And that was when I made the decision to go over to the Coalition for Life. Because honestly, I didn't want to go to them because I still did not have a good taste in my mouth for pro-lifers, but I didn't know where else to go, honestly. And they had always told me that they would help if I ever wanted to leave.
How did they respond to you when you reached out to them?
You know, I expected them to be sort of, I don't know, skeptical, but they weren't. I think, you know, they knew me and they knew who I was and they had watched this take, you know, they had watched me through the fence for so many years, and I had developed a relationship with them. And so they were very receptive, and they just listened. And they were ready immediately to start helping me find another job. And they were really the reason that I had the courage to say, okay, I can leave today. Because I trusted that they wouldn't just leave me out to dry. And so, yeah.
After you left Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood tried to put a legal gag order on you in some form. What happened there?
Yeah, once they found out that I had gone to the Coalition for Life for help, which we're not entirely sure how that happened, but once they found that out, they ended up putting a temporary gag order against me. And then they were trying to get a permanent gag order against me so I wouldn't be able to share my story. And that obviously failed. But yeah, that was the point of the court order.
Why doesn't Planned Parenthood want former employees like you talking about their experiences working for them?
Well, I think we know too much. And I think they're very threatened by us. And I think it terrifies them that we're going to be out here and we're going to tell their dirty laundry. We're going to spread their dirty laundry. And I think that that's that's very scary for them.
Talk about the many more but less well-known former employees who have left Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, we actually, I started a ministry a few years ago called And Then There Were None, and we have had right at 500 abortion clinic workers leave and come through our program. And, you know, now we're starting to help them speak out and share their story. And that's been, I think, very scary for Planned Parenthood, because it's really hard to refute the claims of someone who ran clinics, who was a doctor at a clinic, who was a nurse at one of their clinics. They've been pretty quiet about it, honestly, but the numbers are growing of people who are speaking out. And, you know, people need to be listening to what these workers are saying, because nobody knows the abortion industry better than someone who's worked there.
What would you say to a Planned Parenthood employee who is, like you at the time, struggling with your conscience, struggling with your uncertainty about your future, but who is considering leaving?
I would tell them to go to prolove.com. That's our website. And that, you know, there's no reason to worry, that we are here to be that safety net for them, that we can help them find another job. We can provide financial resources. We can help with whatever it is that they need, that they don't have to be on this journey alone, that there will be people there with them.
Why hasn't Planned Parenthood presented any proof to their claim that the abortion you witnessed never took place?
So they don't have any. I mean, that's the easy answer. They don't have any proof that it didn't take place. They had the opportunity when they took me to court after I left to present that information. They had the opportunity to bring that forward if they had actual proof whenever my book, Unplanned, became a national bestseller. They didn't bring anything forward. They had the opportunity, you know, they knew this movie was coming out and they didn't. So, you know, that only leads someone to believe that they just don't have any proof to back up their claims.
Finally then, Abby, have you been surprised by the response to the Unplanned movie?
I have, in a way, but I also really believe that at this time, especially with all the laws that are coming out all over, these bizarre abortion laws that are coming out all over the country, I feel like this is a time where people are really seeking truth on this issue. And, you know, this film is able to present the truth to them and allow them to make an informed decision of how they feel.
Abby Johnson is a former Planned Parenthood manager, founder and CEO of And Then There Were None. She's author of Unplanned and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Yes, I Really Did See an Ultrasound-Guided Abortion That Made Me Pro-Life. You can read it for yourself at our website and find a link to And Then There Were None, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Abby, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
When we come back, it's time to review a movie with Pastor Ted Geese, as we do every couple of weeks. The movie this week is Shazam. He says, it's too dark for children and too immature for adults. So he asks the question, who in the world is the target audience of this latest superhero movie, Shazam? We'll answer that question after this.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
When I surveyed the
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.